Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3, Sport On with the Straits Times Sports Desk.
Welcome to Sport On here on Money FM 89.3, and we're celebrating the 50th episode of the Straits Times Sports Podcast, a game of two halves with the sports podcasters themselves together here for the first time in the studio live as well. I'm Bernard Labour. With me, ST Sports correspondent David Lee.
Yeah, hi.
And ST Sports journalist Nicole Chia.
Hi, Bernard.
Yeah, and of course, today's biggest news in the sporting world here in Singapore, national swimmer Theresa Goh as well. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Okay, now today the first half of our chat will be about you, Theresa. Theresa's, of course, she announced her retirement today via her Facebook. And in the second half of this chat, we'll be going to talk about the national football team's renaissance as they currently top Group D of the World Cup qualifiers. So let's kick off Theresa Goh with you. Earlier today, you announced your retirement after 20 years of competitive swimming. You are definitely Singapore's very first swimming world champion and became the first local female swimmer to kind of compete at the Paralympic Games in 2004 as well. Thank you for your contributions to Singapore sports. And why did you decide to retire now?
To be honest, it was really more an internal feeling. So, I mean, I've tried to retire a few times, to be honest.
Okay.
I've thought of retiring once after Beijing when I didn't quite achieve my goals, mm-hmm. you know, and I was really in quite a low place. I thought that meant that it was time to quit. And then later on, when I was after Rio, I thought maybe also this was time to quit, you know. But both times, it just never really felt. And I think it's the only time you really know when it's time to go is the only person who knows is you, you know. So mm-hmm. I just felt like it was time. I'm ready to move on. And I made like actual actions to leave, you know.
And how long ago have you been pondering over this?
I mean, yes. But like for like properly thinking about it, I think a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a difficult decision to make?
It was so hard. Like I think with everything, it's always a hard thing to say goodbye, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being in this for 20 years, it's not easy. Thinking of a life after sport, you know, I think it's the same for a lot of many athletes. We all go through the same thing, you know? We have put our lives sometimes on hold to do this, to do our sport, you know, mm-hmm. and to do it the best we can, and to leave something we don't think about often, and until we have to.
Like you said, 20 years is really a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, what are some of your highlights and the challenges, rather, you have encountered in your long career?
I've had a lot of ups and downs, I think. I mean, the definite down, I mean, it was Beijing, you know. I've had a few stumbles, you know. I've been tired and then thinking that's burnt out, but, you know, it's not quite. And then and then really some of my highs are when getting world records or being at games where I don't know, it's just more fun than others, or I really enjoy Commonwealth Games because I think it's probably the only one where they have a mix of able-bodied athletes and para-athletes at the same games, mm-hmm. and it's something that was really fun to be part of. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of ups and downs, but I think that's what makes this whole journey interesting, you mm-hmm. know.
Well, Theresa, at this moment, we'll bring you Nicole as well. Nicole, you reported and covered on several occasions at the various events of Theresa. What do you think of Theresa's para-sports legacy?
Well, it is very stressful to answer because she's right next to me.
I don't even know my legacy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's definitely put Singapore on the map, you know, through her achievements of being the first swimming world champion and all the world records that she's held. But, you know, I think going beyond that, her legacy, not just for parasports, is one of resilience and belief, because that whole 17-year quest for a Paralympic medal, coming back from what she described as her lowest point, that's something that I think a lot of human beings can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, in your opinion, what do you think we have learned? I mean, all of us have learned from Theresa, I mean, and also indeed her fellow swimmer and her best friend as well, Yip Pin Siew's exploits in and out of the pool.
Well, how much time do we have? To put it very broadly, I think resilience definitely for one, and also just being a nicer human being, and that it's okay to admit that you're human and to learn from your mistakes. Because one story I remember that Theresa shared with me when we were at her house last week was, so we were flipping through this folder of her past newspaper clippings, and in an interview she gave when she was 14, she said something about, you know, when people stare at me, I want to slap them. And, you know, she was reflecting on that. She was reflecting on that. She said, I should not have said that. And you know, it's about, like, a lot of what she said about, you know, evolving as a human being and always, you know, not being so set in your ways that you can't improve yourself. So I think that's really one thing that all of us can take from her.
Mm. So I'm sure you must have encountered many people today, Theresa, yourself. I mean, after you announced, make the announcements of your retirement, any surprises you've met along the way since the morning you posted on Facebook?
I haven't had time to process. I'm still replying them. But I mean, I've glanced through a few of my messages and I think, I don't know, I will have a really hard time tonight really processing it all, I think. Really heartwarming messages, a lot of words of encouragement. Sometimes it doesn't feel real. I've gone through, even the past few months, or even after I kind of had decided, there were still moments of hesitance and kind of uncertainty because, yeah, I mean, it's just a hard thing to kind of grasp, you know, that I'm going to move on to a new chapter, and then I'll have moments of like, maybe I should like not.
Have you heard from Inbal? I mean, you said in Rio.
Yeah, I we don't really keep in contact. We only see each other. Like Inbal, my competitor, we've been competing for ages. You know, we've been through many world champs together. We at one point were like 1-2. You know, battling towards Beijing. You know, and she's been an amazing competitor to kind of compete against. I know I'm going to miss competing. I'm going to miss...
You're going to miss a 9 a.m. training, as you mentioned.
I'm so going to miss that. A 7 a.m. training. I'm going to miss all of that, you know. I mean, the hard parts, the easy parts, every part of it, I'm going to miss for sure. But I think with a lot of things, we also have to learn to let go. And I will learn to let go soon.
And obviously, what's next for Theresa Goh? I mean, what's next for you? What do you plan to do after retiring from competitive swimming?
The first thing is to go on holiday.
I think you need that.
Yeah, Pingsie and I and a couple of friends are going to Iceland on Wednesday. We'll take a good break, enjoy the sights, you know. And then after that, I'll probably take a break for a couple of months. But during which I have to go in a job search. Anybody hiring, please.
Please contact Theresa on social media.
You know where to find me.
Are you going to stay in swimming? Do you think you would do something related to swimming?
I mean, it definitely has to at one point come to that because I want to give back, you know, to the community that has given so much to me, and not just swimming, not just para sports, but you know, sports in general. I think I feel like I would love to contribute. I love to give back in any way that I can, you know. But I mean, I'm also keen to kind of explore other options and see what else is out there. Because for now, all that I can say for sure is that I swim very well.
So you're gonna take a couple more days for all the sinking.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think maybe a month from now, I'll be in my room just thinking, oh my gosh, I have no training, I have nothing that I have to like really plan for, and then what am I going to do now? You know, I think it will come to a point. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be talking to Theresa Goh. Of course, she announced her retirement from swimming today, this morning, via her own Facebook, to let everybody know that she's going to be retiring for a while and kind of stop swimming. So if you like the Money FM 89.3 at the Straits Times Spot On and Game of Two Halves, you can listen to it to us live here on Money FM 89.3 from Monday at 5:15 p.m. every Monday, or you can subscribe to A Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or even Spotify, and like us and give us a rating as well. So now let's move on to the second half of our conversation today on our chat today with our ST Sports podcasters. Well, the national football team kicked off Group D of the joint World Cup and Asian Cup qualifiers with an encouraging 2-2 draw against Yemen before seeing off a much higher-ranked Palestine in a stunning 2-1 victory. David, after years of disappointment, and you've been covering sports all these years as well, especially for football,
right.
What was so impressive about them in the last two games with talks of goal 2034 and are Singapore going to the World Cup?
Okay. Hold your horses, cowboy. So I don't think we have what it takes just yet to get to the World Cup, but we can certainly try. Of course, every round of qualifiers is an opportunity to do so. But what was so impressive about the Lions, though, was how they got fans and the media thinking, when was the last time they played so well? After the 2-1 win over Palestine, I was chatting with Haris Harun, the skipper, and he admitted he couldn't remember when was the last time they played so well. We sort of discussed about it and we agreed that perhaps it was the 1-0 win over Indonesia in last year's Suzuki Cup group stage. Then after that, the next game, they played with the same lineup and then they lost to the Philippines 1-0.
Okay.
And they crashed out of the group stage. And even further back, you have to go back to, you know, 2012 Suzuki Cup. For the last time, they played good back-to-back matches. Mm. It was, I think, a 1-0 win over the Philippines, followed by a 3-1 win over Thailand that helped us to lift the trophy. So, and guess what? You know, you have to go back even further to the last time, you know, where we actually beat a much higher-ranked opponent. Mm. I think it was 2006. That's 13 years ago, you know, where we beat Iraq 2-0. I think generally above the result, I know results are very important, but what was most pleasing to fans, to all those concerned about Singapore football, was how they played purposeful attacking football confidently.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that this is also partly to do with the new coach, Tetsuma Yoshida, who's been in charge for only a short while? What impact do you think he's brought to the team?
Right, I think he's been appointed only in May. He's had fewer than 15 training sessions. You know how we talked about his possible language barrier, right? Because mm-hmm. he speaks halting English. But somehow he's made a mockery out of that suggestion. You know, Harris was telling me how somehow, you know, the team understand perfectly what he wants of them. I don't know if this is the language of football, language of sport, whatever it is, but they know what he expects of them. Another national player, Gabriel Kwek, he told me that the players, they want to give their best for him because he trusts them and injects them with belief. Perhaps in the past, we tend to have coaches who focus more on opponent's strength, you know, when we play against much stronger teams and how we can try to negate these qualities of the opponents. But I feel there's a sense that Yoshida goes beyond that and finds ways where we can hurt the opponents too. And you look at his team selection, he's not afraid to send attackers on, he's not afraid to tinker. He played a back four against Yemen, back three against Palestine, and we have had young players, you know, like Hami, Shaheen, Faris Farhan, who received their first caps against Yemen and Palestine. And when Yoshida makes like-for-like changes instead of piling on the defenders to protect the results. Mm-hmm. So when there are neither token call-ups or guaranteed spots in the team, what he has done is he has fired up his players, even across the country, you know, even though those players who were not called up, he's got them fired up and thinking that they have every chance to represent the country. So when you have such competition, it kills complacency and it helps catalyze improvement in the short term and maybe even inspire a future generation.
Okay, so very quickly, David, what does the future hold now for the Lions with all these things all put in place?
Right, I think we have a good spine, you know, from the goalkeeper right through the defence, midfield, and attack with Izzuan, Irfan, Safwan, Shakir, Harris, Iksan, who are all at a good age, you know, between 20 to 29. The team must now capitalize on this momentum so it doesn't become just another false dawn. I think they must continue to build an identity for themselves. They may not reach the World Cup just yet, but I think qualifying for the Asian Cup for the first time is a realistic target. And if they trust in Yoshida, they must give him time and resources. I understand they have signed a new Japanese staff coach to assist him. That's a good sign because he needs strong backing to do his difficult job well.
Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, David. Well, it's been an eventful month for Singapore sports in a positive way. In badminton, we had Yeo Jiamin beating world number one Akane Yamaguchi at the World Championships. And then we had the bowler Sherry Tan winning the World Bowling Women's Championship Masters event. Diver Jonathan Chan qualifying for the Olympics. And Yipin Siu winning two golds at the World Para Swimming Championships. So, Theresa, before we let you go, what's your wish for Singapore sports?
Wow, I have so many wishes. Do I just have three? I mean, I really do wish to see continued growth, continued inclusiveness. Like, I just wish the best for it, you know. We've seen Singapore sport grow. I've seen it grow since I started to now. And all I can hope for is that it continues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We wish you all the very best, Theresa.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sure we'll see you around. That goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week. We hope they enjoyed listening to us. Glad to have you in or in the studio. Thank you very much once again, Theresa, David, and Nicole, our colleagues from the Straits Times Sports Department.
Thanks, Bennett.
Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.